Let's open our Bibles once again at Ephesians chapter 6. The verse that we're concentrating on this morning is verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We'll have prayer just before we bring the Lord's message. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy Word. Thank Thee for bringing us this morning to the house of God with an interest to hear the Word. And we pray that even now Thou wouldst open up our hearts and our minds. Let us not have a shut mind. Let us not have a closed heart. But, O God, touch us, soften us and quicken us, and enable us, Lord, to feel and know that desire within us to learn the things of the Lord. So, Lord, teach us now wondrous things out of Thy truth. Draw nigh unto us, and do us good by speaking to us and causing us to hear Thy voice, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian needs not only to be dressed for battle, but he also needs to be covered with prayer as well. He needs to be covered with the clothing, or as somebody has called it, the apron of prayer. And it's that apron of prayer that I want us to concentrate upon this morning. It seems that Paul referred to this apron of prayer in the climax he gives to the Christian's armor here in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Notice in the verse 18, he stresses four alls. He says, praying always. Just have a wee look at it there and you'll see it for yourself. Praying always, that's number one. Number two, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, that's number three. And then, for all saints. So there are four alls in this verse of Scripture. And we want to think about that this morning. Now, as we've been studying the Christian soldier, we have noticed that Paul first instructed believers to detect the enemy, the adversary. Verse 12 would show us that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That identifies and detects the enemy for us. And he also instructs us to dress for battle, to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we're to do in verse 11. And he crowns this by teaching us how we can destroy those wiles of the devil. And that's by using God's weapons that he has given us for warfare. Verse 17 reads, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer. So we can destroy the wiles of the devil by dressing in the armor that God has given to us and being clothed in that. We can destroy the very wiles of the devil. Now, you'll have noticed by this time, I'm sure, that the weapons for spiritual warfare are not carnal. Carnal weapons are not suitable for the spiritual conflict. And for that reason, Paul insisted that beyond our spiritual clothing, we must be armed with the sword of the Spirit and which is the Word of God, and praying always in the Holy Ghost. Just as we cannot separate the sword from the rest of the armour, so we dare not separate the Word of God from prayer. The Word of God and prayer both go together. And mostly, we bring the two together when we meet even to pray. The Word of God and prayer. It is by the Word of God that we are spiritually enlightened. And by prayer, we are spiritually enabled and strengthened. Prayer is not a substitute for spiritual armor. It is a support for the armor, and it helps. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, we find prayer is an expression of worship by God's children. It says there in chapter 3 verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in bowing our knees unto God, we're worshipping God and acknowledging that He's sovereign and that He is all-powerful, and we're further acknowledging our dependence upon Him. And that's what Paul did. Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary in South America, he said this: "God is still on the throne, and we are still at His footstool, and there is only a knee's distance between." Only a knee's distance between. And the child of God is exhorted to pray always. Prayer is the work of God's servants. God's servants are to pray. Prayer is a weapon of war for God's children, for God's soldiers. And if we take the girdle, if we take the breastplate, if we take the shoes, the shield and the helmet, my, these are the armor that the soldier wears. Prayer is also vital. And if the girdle, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet are the armor the soldier wears, then prayer is the air the soldier breathes. And we need to be breathing in and out all the time the air of prayer, seeking the Lord and depending on Him to give us the victory. The use of the verb praying indicates to us that standing our ground, we should stand our ground praying. Standing our ground, taking our armor, or doing all by prayer. Let us stand our ground in prayer. Let us take the armor of prayer. And let us do all by praying. Whether we are in a battle with Satan, or whether we're witnessing for the Lord, or whether we're just living out our ordinary day living, let us do it all by prayer. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord. We were singing, "Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there." And as I've said, there are four alls here in this verse. First, we have the frequency of prayer, praying always. Frequency in prayer. Always in this particular text here means at all seasons. And it also means on all occasions. So at all seasons and on all occasions, praying always. We are to pray when we're in the midst of the spiritual battle. Often when we are in the thick of the conflict, we don't feel like praying. And we don't feel that we could even pray. But it's at such times we should pray in spite of our feelings. Because we're exhorted here, praying always. Our faintest and feeblest requests are presented perfectly by the Holy Ghost before God in heaven. And even though you're in the thick of it, and you don't feel like praying, and you're weak, even the very weakest and faintest cry to God, the Holy Ghost will take that prayer in all its weakness and present it powerfully and present it without any flaw before the Father in heaven. How do I know? The Bible tells me. And by turning to Romans 8 and verse 26, we read this. Likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that weak prayer offered to God will be presented perfectly by the Holy Spirit before God in heaven. So take heart. Don't be discouraged. And in the very thick of the battle, pray, praying always. We ought to pray, not just when we're in the thick of the battle, but we should pray when things are going well. And we should continue to pray when it seems that things are not going well. So it's praying always. When it's going well for you, and when it's not going well for you. In other words, just as in the marriage vows that you remember taking way back all those years ago, we should pray for better. We should pray for worse. We should pray for richer. We should pray for poorer. We should pray in sickness, and we should pray in health, praying always. And as we take this exhortation this morning, I'm sure as God speaks to us as individuals, it will be a tremendous encouragement to you. This then teaches us that prayer is the Christian's life as it should be. There should be continual prayer, living, as it were, in an attitude and in an atmosphere of prayer. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And when we give up praying, whether it be personal praying or corporate praying, then we faint. We faint as individuals. We faint as a church. And weakness sets in, and doubt sets in, and unbelief sets in, and backsliding, and a departure from the Lord. Praying always. Continual praying. Habitual praying. Cultivate the habit of regular prayer times. Of setting aside a season, a time when you draw near unto the Lord. A time when, in your own home, you either get alone or even with others in the home, the family, and you pray to the God of heaven. Special prayer in times of special need, in times when you need the Lord and you need His grace. Special situations require special seasons of prayer. I think of Acts chapter 1, following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ back to heaven. We're told the disciples made their way to the upper room. And there, it was a very special time of need for them. Their master had returned to heaven. They were afraid, and they were shut in for a while, scared to go out. It was a special time of need, and they gathered for prayer. I think of the persecution of the church by Herod in Acts chapter 12, when James was killed by the sword, and Herod sought to take Peter also. And the church, in verse 5 of chapter 12 of Acts, that prayer was made of the church unto God without ceasing for him. And that was a special time of prayer during the persecution of the church. And there are times in your own personal life, in your own family life, in your own dealings with others, that become special and require special times of prayer and waiting upon the Lord. My dear friend, you need to take time to wait upon the Lord, because they that do so renew their strength, and they run and will not be weary. Failure to pray would then be a tragedy. Failure to pray in your life would be a tragedy. In fact, it's a sin against the Lord. It's a sin against heaven, and it needs to be rectified. And with this in mind, I think of Samuel. We were singing about Samuel in the Psalm 99, who prayed to God. And it's appropriate that I should mention him again. Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, he said, promising Israel, he made a promise to Israel, to the people of God, God's chosen ones. He made them a promise, and he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And how many times we have promised to pray for people. Let us take the words of Samuel seriously and say today, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That's an onerous task which is ruled upon the children of God and the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to remember God's work in prayer. We need to remember the children that God has given to us. We need to remember the young people. We need to remember the evangelistic effort, the work of reaching the lost, winning them to Christ. We need to remember our missionaries on the mission field. God forbid that I should cease to pray for them before the Lord. And so prayer must be continual, habitual, and special. The all of the frequency of prayer, praying always. Then we have the all of the facets of prayer. It says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer, I suppose, could be said to be a general term. But those who engage in it must learn that there are many facets to prayer. And it was in the context of spiritual warfare that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. And then in chapter 2 and verse 1 he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now that verse suggests a few things to us this morning. He says, first of all, I exhort. And we pray because we're commanded to pray. Paul says, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I exhort, or I command. And so, my brethren and sisters this morning, you are commanded by God to pray. That's the first thing. And then he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, now notice those words, first of all, three words. Here God puts prayer as a priority in your life. As he did in the life of Timothy and in the life of Paul. I exhort, first of all, so prayer must have priority. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 again, Jesus says men ought always to pray. And not to faint. In Acts 12 verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here we have a priority given to prayer. Now do we give priority to prayer? First of all, Oh yes, we have our business to attend to. We have all the things of the day to attend to. But first of all, are we given attendance to prayer and to the seeking of the Lord? Prayer should be the first thing we do and not the last as a last resort. Prayer should be the first thing in our minds. And I trust that we will first of all give priority to prayer. And then supplications. Supplication is very much the human aspect of prayer. And it reflects who we are. It's a picture, a mirror of just who we are. The word suggests that the petitioner, the person who prays, is poor and needy. That's the implication of the word supplication. Poor and needy. And out of that sense of need, we call upon the Lord and we ask God, the great benefactor, the great answerer of prayer, the supplier of all our needs. He is our heavenly Father after all. And we who are needy and helpless, we can bring our supplications to the Lord who answers and supplies our every need. And then it says prayers. This has been described as the divine aspect of prayer. It reflects who God is. And it underlines our confidence in the all-sufficiency of His grace and in His all-powerful ability to meet our need and to enable us to overcome the devil and the enemy and to give us the victory. True prayer, therefore, is based on the relationship between the needy, the poor, and our Heavenly Father. And if we're to have true prayer in our lives, that relationship between me, the poor one, the needy one, and God, my benevolent Heavenly Father, that relationship must be right. It must be in keeping with God's word, and we must be right with God. And then there's intercessions mentioned in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. When we pray for others, we intercede. And that's a great privilege that we have in prayer. Intercessions means praying for others. Interceding on behalf of those who do not pray for themselves. Interceding on behalf of those who are out of Christ and have no desire for God. While they might be out in the world, reveling in their sin, unknown to them, you can be before the Lord, on your knees, praying, interceding for them, and praying that God might speak to them and bring them to Himself. Intercessions. Thank God for the ministry of intercession. And in the body of Christ, as we are who are saved this morning, in the body of Christ, we're encouraged to pray for each other and to pray for those outside the body of Christ. And we know that this is demonstrated in the Bible time and time again. How that the church prayed for one another. And how they prayed for the unsaved and the ungodly to be brought to know Christ. And then he mentions and giving of thanks. Oh, that's important. Giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is the acknowledgement that God answers prayer. And thanksgiving, it comes from a heart that is grateful for what God has done, even in answer to our prayers, though offered in weakness, to the great God of heaven. And thanksgiving. Oh, let us not be forgetful to thank God for what He has done. We should not pray without giving thanks. And we should do that time and time again. So we have the frequency of prayer. We have the facets of prayer, praying always, and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But we also have the fervency in prayer. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost is fervency in prayer. It has been said that the prayer that reaches heaven is the prayer that originates in heaven. And when we're led by the Spirit of God and we're fervent in spirit, then we can be sure that the Holy Spirit who comes from heaven is directing us and prayer will be answered. I've already mentioned that verse, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So that, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By prayer, the Holy Spirit imparts His desires into our hearts. He opens up the avenues of our souls, and He controls our minds, and He shapes our wills according to the Word of God, and He leads us out in prayer with a burden to seek the Lord's face. Prayer is a relationship by which we pray to our Heavenly Father. Oh friend, have you that relationship today? Is it a working relationship? Is it a vital and vibrant relationship? Is it a fervent one? Oh, fervency in prayer. Paul uses the word watching. It's a military term, isn't it? Appropriate to alert a sentry on duty, watching. Unlike Peter, James, and John, who accompanied Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, who went with Him a little further, and Jesus asked them to watch and to pray. What do we find them doing? When Jesus returned, He found them asleep, and He says, "Could you not watch with Me 1 hour?" They were asleep. And if the sentry on duty at his post fell asleep, then the enemy could come, make his encroachment, and take the camp, and the camp would be brought into captivity. All because the sentry fell asleep at his post of duty. How many Christian soldiers today are asleep at their post of duty? How many need awakened? How many need to be revived? Oh, we need to revive the spirit of prayer within our hearts. We need to revive the spirit of prayer within the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to know the revival again of God working in us and through us. And our lives are challenged afresh by the Word of God this morning. It is said that George Mueller prayed for an unconverted man in Bristol for 65 years. Imagine it. He prayed for him for 65 years, and the man was converted only after Mueller died. That is perseverance, isn't it? Praying always in the Spirit with all perseverance. Do you persevere in prayer? You've prayed for a son. You've prayed for a daughter. You've prayed for a father, for a mother. Are you persevering in prayer? George Mueller knew how to hold on to God. He knew how to pray. And he never gave up. And even after he'd gone home to heaven, God was still answering his prayers. Mother and father, you may not live to see your prayers answered. Some, perhaps in particular, maybe. But even after you've gone home to glory, and you've laid down the shield and the sword, and you've entered into your rest in heaven, God will keep on going on answering prayer. And things will happen either before or after we leave this scene of time. That's the God whom we serve. That's the God whom we love. That's our God today. That's the God of this book. That's the God of the Christian soldier. Let us take the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there is the frequency of prayer. There's the special facets of prayer. There's also the fervency in prayer. But there is the focus in prayer. For this verse goes on to say, mentions the words for all saints and for me. He's getting now very specific. Focusing on specifics. We're encouraged to pray for all saints in general. We can never attach too much importance on prayer. Even an apostle, the caliber of Paul himself, needed the prayers of the saints. So keep on praying for all saints. It is good to pray for our family. It's good to pray for our friends, and it's good to pray for our needs. But Paul says also that it's good for us to pray for all the saints, for the family of God, for the people of Christ. Paul practiced what he preached. And I've already mentioned Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. But if you read verses 14 to 21... you'll notice he prayed for the Ephesian believers in one of the most fervent and comprehensive prayers in the entire Bible. What a fervent prayer in Ephesians 3 Paul prayed. And he prayed for all the believers in the church at Ephesus. Do we do that? Are we praying for all the believers in the church on the Banbridge Road? We're members one of another. We're not. God doesn't teach us to live our lives in isolation. But as he brings a congregation of his people together, they are one in Jesus Christ. There are not certain factions amongst them. That would be unscriptural and not of the Lord. Indeed, it would be a sin to be repented of. And to be sought forgiveness. And if such be the case, then we need to seek God's forgiveness and to seek his pardon and cleansing. Prayer for all saints. And we're urged to pray for some saints as individuals as well. Paul says, and for me. Paul moved from the appeal for general prayer here to a specific prayer request that he had for himself. He wanted the Ephesian believers to pray for him as he prayed for them. He required prayer. Now, Paul asked for prayer. What did he ask prayer for? Look what it says. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, you might have thought Paul would have asked for prayer that he might be released from prison. Because as his pen wrote these words, he was chained to a Roman soldier in the Roman prison. He was in jail, incarcerated in the gaol, in a dungeon, very uncomfortable place, a hard place. But Paul's not asking them to pray that he might be released. He's not asking them to pray for his comforts even in the prison. These things are not at all upon his mind. But he is asking, again we'll look at it, he's asking that for him that utterance may be given unto him, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's asking that they might pray, that he might take the opportunity that God gives him to preach the word, to witness for Christ, to tell sinners of the Redeemer, and to point them to the Lamb of God, that they might be saved. In other words, he's praying, pray for me, that this soldier to which I am chained may have his eyes opened, and that he might be saved. My, what a prayer, what a request. And oh, how we need to pray for the Lord's servants, that they might open their mouths boldly to speak of Christ, and that utterance might be given unto them to preach the gospel. Pray for the Lord's servants throughout the world, and pray that God might bless his word to the salvation of precious souls. As we come to the close of this study on the whole armor of the Lord's people, let us take unto ourselves this whole armor. Let's ask God to enable us to stand against the wiles of the devil, and ask him that having done all to stand, we might know the victory that is in our Lord Jesus Christ.